is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, anything is possible this March with our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Get a huge $2,000 trade-in discount on a new machine in March when you trade in any old Dr. Dish machine. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Andy Winters, head men's basketball coach at Otterbein University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads mentorship program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Linsing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And as you may be able to tell, I'm playing hurt tonight, so my voice is a little bit rough, but we're going to power through. Just like,
I just
hopefully
wish
the Cavs.
Well, hopefully I was going like to say, Cavs. hopefully some of these Cavaliers, listen, Mobley's injury last night, like, he's going to be out a few games. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. But, like, and I was talking to someone at work today, Mike, and maybe I'm too old school on this, but Jared Allen, come on now. Let's get this rolling. And come on now. You've got a finger. I think we can figure it out. But maybe it's more serious than they're letting on. But, I mean,
tape that baby together and let's go.
Let's go. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm callous. Maybe I'm rude saying that, Mike. But come on now. I've dislocated a finger and popped it back into place and kept playing. And I'm not getting paid $20 million a year. So
his finger's broke. His finger's broken though, so that's a little bit different.
I know. I'm just saying. Come on now. We can figure it out.
Hopefully he's back sooner than later, and hopefully Mobley only misses a couple games. Although by that point.
My working theory is that he's sitting out tomorrow in hopes that he plays on Thursday when we play Atlanta, because that game's like, it's an Eastern Conference team. It's a little more important, although it's not really that important. Any of your game important for the Cavs right now, but.
Well, they got 4 and 5 nights. So the 4 and 5 nights is bad timing for you to be waiting for a guy to get back from injury when you're plugging 4 games in that short of a time span. Waiting for somebody to come back from injury. So.
All right. Well, we're jumping the gun here, little Mike. Let's gotta do our trivia for the night. Okay. I know you're really excited about this.
I am. I'm pumped up, man. I'm ready.
Okay. So here we go. Entering tonight, the Nets and Lakers are both contending for playoff spots. Since Durant entered the league, either Durant or LeBron has both made the playoffs in each season. What was the last year that neither LeBron nor Durant made the NBA? Or made the playoffs, okay? So what year? This is a gimme to you, Mike. I feel like this should be a gimme. What was the last year that either LeBron or Durant did not make the playoffs?
So it would be the it would predate LeBron's whatever LeBron's first playoff appearance with the Cavs would have been. So I'm going to say that was, I know they didn't make it his rookie year. I kind of feel like they didn't make it maybe his second year. So would that make it? He's been in the league. This is what, year 17? So he came in 2005. So I'm going to say.
No. This is year 19, Mike.
19?
This is year 19, Mike. Come on now.
So he came in 2003?
Yeah.
All right. So then I'm going to say, let's see. So that would be 03, 04, 04, 05. I'll say 04, 05.
That's correct, Mike. Good job. Good deduction. Yeah. With a little assist from me, but that's a good job.
Okay.
So entering last night's game, unfortunately this didn't continue last night because they decided to sit these players out. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown had each scored 25 points in each of the Celtics' six straight wins. They are the third pair of teammates to each score 25 points in six straight games together, joining these two sets of players.
Shaq and Kobe.
There you go. You got to go a little further back in the time frame for that last, the other one.
25 plus in six straight games, two sets of teammates. All right, let me think about this. Am I going a little further back than that or a lot further back than that?
I'm going to say, I would say.
A medium amount?
Medium amount. I wouldn't say like. Okay. Like the inception of the NBA, but I would say it was in your lifetime, Mike.
Okay. So I have, I guess I would go, Doc and Moses.
No.
Well,
maybe it wasn't in your lifetime, Mike. I might have said it spoke out of turn here. Hold on.
Kareem and the Big O.
No. The one of the people is still kind of prominent in the NBA. Like, he was definitely at
Weston Chamberlain?
No, you got one of them.
Weston Elgin Baylor.
There you go. There it is. That wasn't in your lifetime, was it?
Elgin Baylor, well, I was two, so Elgin Baylor retired in the early parts of that 69-13 1972 Lakers championship season. So
okay, well, Jerry West retired in 74, so you were four. So I guess it was technically...
It wasn't my lifetime, but I do not have any recollection of watching
either
Jerry
of those
West
guys
or Elgin
play.
Baylor play.
Got
no,
it.
None.
Got it. All right. The last, well, I have two more. This next one should be short. Okay. So currently, Tyler Hero leads the league in points off the bench, 20.8 points per game. What player is second in the NBA in points off the bench? There's a reason I asked this question, Mike. That's all I'm going to say.
This year, second in points off the bench this season. Man, this is a good one because I can honestly say nothing pops out of my head.
He's one of your daughter's favorite players in the NBA.
Jordan Clarkson.
There you go.
That was the first name that popped into my head, but I kind of thought that
and then third place is a guy whose dad we've had on the podcast.
Kelly Oubre. Yeah, that makes sense. Oubre's had some big games. He's had some very big games.
Carmelo's fifth, believe it or not.
Wow. He's hard to believe. Kudos to Carmelo.
Yeah, okay. All right, the last one, but once again, this is a quick one, Mike. This is before tonight, unfortunately. The Bulls were 5-11 since the All-Star break. Only three teams had fewer wins since the All-Star break. Can you name the three teams?
I would say since the All-Star break, fewer wins than Sacramento.
No.
The Thunder.
One.
The Rockets.
Nope.
The Magic.
Nope.
The Wizards.
Nope.
The Lakers.
Yes.
And I got one more.
One more. It's also in the Western Conference. They're pitiful. Like, I don't think I could name a starter right now for this team.
Portland.
There you go. Here's the other one. Good job, Mike.
Okay. Well, that wasn't a very good job considering I just rattled guessed off every team. Every team in the bottom half of, in the bottom third of each conference. So
yeah.
I don't think that one, I don't think I qualify for a good job.
Well, Mike, come on. I'm just giving you some credit, dude.
It's all
come
right. I appreciate now. It.
I'm trying to give it's you some right. partial credit.
I've got at least a little bit of knowledge here and there, but
yeah, I just gotta be compassionate, Mike. So I'm being compassionate for you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm playing hurt tonight, man.
You're playing hurt tonight. I'm gonna be teaching Spanish the next 3 days, so we're getting ready. Yeah, kids are going to DC the next 3 days, Mike, and I got asked to teach Spanish. So excelente, here we go.
Muy bien.
Bien. All right. So on that note, Mike, so I think we're going to start with the Cavs. Obviously, we kind of already led off the show with this, and we're not going to, you know, beat a dead horse on this. The Cavs are injury prone right now. It's unfortunate. They're kind of in a free fall. Mike, I'm going to say this. You know, I know last week we were talking about how we thought we were going to finish up. Are we going to finish ahead of Brooklyn?
Well, we didn't include Brooklyn in our let's take a look at the schedule. So how about let's take a look at the schedule?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my team that I'm concerned about now. We could still pass the Raptors, I think. But, okay, so here's Brooklyn's schedule. Okay. They play Milwaukee on Thursday. Okay. They play Atlanta on Saturday. All right, and then after, so they play Milwaukee Thursday, Atlanta on Saturday. Then here's how they end the season. This is Brooklyn's last four games. Houston, the Knicks, Cleveland, Indiana.
Knicks have won four in a row, baby.
I'm just saying, Mike, I'm not feeling optimistic here. Because those last five win are easy wins, in my opinion. I mean, they should beat us, okay? They should beat all those
teams. Here's the question, though. Does that matter? Does it matter if you – I mean, look, I don't think if it's the – if the Cavs and the Brooklyn is the 7-8 game, the Cavs are not winning that game. Can we agree whether it's in Brooklyn or it's in Cleveland?
I agree.
I think the odds of the Cavs winning that game are pretty small. So then you're left with – can you stay ahead of the Hornets, who you're 3.5 games ahead of with 6 games to play, which
we play like... and we play Charlotte one of those games, right? Or am I wrong? No, Charlotte. No, we don't play Charlotte. Charlotte plays some bad team. I'm not worried about them. They're not going to catch us.
So I don't think that matters. I think it still obviously would be the ideal situation to stay out of the play-in. And is it still theoretically possible? I guess, because I don't know, especially on the Chicago side of it. We had Chicago beating Washington, I think, when we went through their schedule last week. So tonight's win over the Wizards wasn't that unexpected. But I don't think we're going to catch Toronto based on how well they're playing and based on our injury situation and how we're kind of just scuffling along here. At the end, I think our hope is that another scuffling team like the Bulls somehow scuffles a little bit worse than we do.
Is it bad? And I'm kind of hoping that Chicago scuffles and Brooklyn passes us and then we play Chicago in the play-in game. Like, if we can't get up to 6, but we have to maintain 7, I want Chicago to fall apart and I want Brooklyn to get past us. I would much rather play Chicago than Brooklyn in a play-in game, right? Right?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, look, let's go with this theoretical situation. Right now, the top of the East is bunched up 4 teams within a game and a half of first place in the Eastern Conference. Do you expect the Miami Heat to remain as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference?
No. Should we play the schedule game with each of these teams? I think that might be beneficial. Would that be beneficial, Mike?
It could be, I guess. Well, that's going to take a lot of remembering who's where and what and who's going to finish with what.
Okay, well, I got a paper and pencil. We'll write this down. I'll write this down. All right, here we go.
All right,
Miami.
I'm going to put it with you. Okay, let's go.
Miami.
Let's do it quick. Miami.
Okay, Miami plays at Boston on tomorrow.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. Okay. Then we got at Chicago on Saturday. That's a W.
I'm going to say that's a win.
They play at Toronto on Sunday.
That's a loss.
Okay. So they're playing home against Charlotte and then home against Atlanta. Those are both W's.
Yep.
And then they're at Orlando. That's a W.
That's a win.
So that's 4-2 the rest of the way for them. Now we're going to go Milwaukee. Okay, Milwaukee. They play at Brooklyn. That's a 50-50 game, Mike, I think. Right?
I think so. Let's chalk that up as a loss.
Okay, we'll make it a loss. Okay. We got Dallas at home.
You got the Clippers. You skipped
The Clippers and then Dallas. Sorry. So I'm going to give the Clippers a win. I'm going to give Dallas a win because it's
at
home.
That's a win. Yep.
Then they're at Chicago. That's a loss. That's a win. I'm sorry. That's a loss for Chicago, which is good news for us again.
Yeah, that's a win.
All right. Then they've got Boston at home.
That's a win.
Then they've got Detroit. They're at Detroit. That's a win. And then I'm going to give them Cleveland, although if that game might not matter, who knows? We're going to hope that game doesn't matter. So then that gives them a record of 6-1 down the stretch.
Yep.
Okay. So then the next team we have to look at is the Sixers. All right, here we go, the Sixers. So we got at Detroit, that's a win.
It's a win.
Home against Charlotte, that's a win. At Cleveland, that's a win. At Indiana, that's a win. At Toronto, that's a loss.
Yes.
We're giving Toronto a lot of credit. And then they play Indiana and Detroit, the last two. So they're also going to go 6-1. Do you disagree with any of my games? You were pretty quiet over there. I just want to make sure. I mean,
no, that's
good. They've got a pretty soft schedule. Okay. And then the last team would be the Celtics. I think they have the hardest schedule other than Miami. So we're giving them the first game. Because they're playing Miami, and we said that Miami was going to lose, so we're giving them that first one. They play. Oh no, they don't have a. Well, the last three games are rough for them. Then they play Indiana at home. Then they play Washington at home. So we're giving those all wins.
Wins.
Then they play Chicago. At Chicago, are you giving them a win or a loss on that one?
I'll give them a win.
Okay, man. Did Chicago play all four of these teams? This is fantastic.
So. They might have, yeah. They have a really Chicago has a really hard schedule. Let's hope that it pays dividends for us.
Okay, so then at Milwaukee, that's a loss, and then I'm going to say at Memphis. The way Memphis is playing is a loss.
That's a loss, yeah.
Okay, so they're going to go. The Celtics are going to go 4-2. Miami's going to go 4-2. The Milwaukee and the Sixers are going to go 6-1. So where does that end up? That gives us Milwaukee and the Sixers. That would give us Milwaukee at number one. That would give us the Sixers at number two. That would give us Miami at number three. And that would give us Boston at number four. If everything pans out the way that we did, Mike, by my quick calculations.
In any way, shape, or form, the Cavs get into the playoffs. I think that you want Milwaukee at number one if you're the Cavs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If they get into the top six. If you don't get into the top six, that's scary to me. But whatever. It is what it is.
Well,
I mean,
yeah. I guess my whole thing is I just don't want to see – I don't want to see Milwaukee because I don't think – I think that's probably a sweep in all honesty. Whereas I feel like those other series, as I've said all along, I think any of those other series could theoretically be competitive. Now, those teams could also – just destroy the Cavs, especially depending on what the injury situation is like and whether Jared Allen's playing, whether Mobley's 100% or not 100%. It could go very, very poorly, but I do think that you could at least delude yourself into thinking you have a chance against one of those other teams, whereas I think Milwaukee just destroys the Cavs.
Yeah. I kind of, now you've kind of put this in my brain, Mike, I'm kind of hoping that somehow Charlotte passes Brooklyn. That would be really nice if that could happen. I don't think it will, because Charlotte has a pretty rough schedule down the stretch here. But, I mean, we are in agreement that New York's out, right? New York's out.
Yeah, New York has no chance.
Washington's out.
But theoretically, I mean, if Atlanta's only a game and a half out, if things break right for any of these teams, that whole thing could shuffle pretty quickly. I mean, I think the Bulls, Raptors, Cavs could shuffle. Those three teams could, any of those teams could finish in the 5, 6, or 7, depending on how things go.
Yeah.
And I think 8, 9, or 10, I think any of those teams could potentially shift. And then I guess there's an outside chance maybe that Brooklyn creeps up ahead of the Cavs. Although I just think 2.5 games, the Cavs probably got to win half the games. And then, you know, Brooklyn would have to basically go undefeated the rest of the way, which I don't see that. That's not going to happen, I don't think.
Yeah, okay.
So I think the Cavs are, I think the Cavs are locked into 5, 6, or 7 pretty much. Although when you struggle at home against Orlando, it tells you that there probably isn't any easy games left on the Cavs schedule.
Well, LeBron didn't help us out tonight. LeBron, you didn't get the memo, LeBron. You were supposed to keep the game against Dallas competitive so that Luka had to play in the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't know if Luka ended up playing in the fourth quarter, but judging by the fact that he only played 29 minutes and had a 34-point triple-double, I'm going to go ahead and say that he didn't play because I know he had 34 points entering to the fourth quarter. Thanks, LeBron. You only let him make him play 30 minutes. And, I mean, Dallas is in a dogfight. Like, they want to finish ahead of, they want to try to pass Golden State. And I don't think they're worried about passing Utah or Denver pass them. But, I mean, those two teams are still within striking range. So it's not like Dallas isn't playing for something tomorrow. So that didn't help us out at all. I mean, I'm totally expecting Luka to drop 40 on us tomorrow because I don't know who's guarding him. Is Coro guarding him? Probably, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I would have to say.
But, I mean, we're going to have heavy Moses Brown minutes, so hopefully he brings it. Did you see his purr, by the way, for the Cavs?
Who?
Moses
Who?
Brown?
No.
If he was playing for every 36 minutes, he's averaging like 17 points and something another. I'm like, get him some more minutes. But then you realize he probably does that in short bursts. And
he's been surprisingly functional, though.
Oh, yeah.
In all honesty,
I love Ed Davis, but Moses Brown is definitely better than Ed Davis, right? I mean, he's, in my opinion, he's better than Ed Davis.
Certainly. Right? I think at this point in his career, yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
So, I don't know. So, anyway, so the Cavs, I'm a little concerned for you Cavs. I guess we probably should we just predict our outcomes now that we've given the information
for
the Cavs?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, Dallas, that's a loss, right?
Yes, that's a loss.
The only good thing about the Dallas situation is they played at home and they have to fly to Cleveland tonight. So, that gives us a little bit, you know, it's a back-to-back. We've been resting, or Darius Garland's been resting. He's going to need to do a lot tomorrow. But yeah, I think it's a loss. Then we play at Atlanta. Atlanta's also playing tomorrow, and they actually have a game that's later than us, and they're playing at Oklahoma City. So both teams are traveling tomorrow night after the game. I think that's probably a loss, unfortunately, for the Cavs again. I think we said it was a loss last week because we don't play well there.
You have to get one of those two.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because
especially
it's
when
not
you look
like
at the rest of it, there's not a lot of wins on this schedule if the games are meaningful.
Yeah,
for the other teams.
Yeah, well, Saturday, I'm taking that as a win. I'm going to say that we're going to beat the Knicks, Mike, at MSG.
Clearly not a gimme, especially since the Knicks have been playing. Like I said earlier, they won 4 in a row. So I don't think you can look at that game and pencil it in the way we might have 2 weeks ago.
I'm still penciling it in, Mike.
All right, look, so I think at that point, I think of those first three games, you got to go 2-1. Or let's put it this way. Yeah, how about this? You have to go 2-2 over the next four. So you have home for Dallas, at Atlanta, at New York, home for Philadelphia. You
yes, get two. I would take that. I would take that.
You got to go 2-2 in those. If you want to have any chance of maintaining the seven spot or capturing Chicago's free fall, you have to go at the minimum, you have to go 2-2 there. And yeah. Then you got to go to Orlando and win. And then you have to hope that the Brooklyn and Milwaukee games are basically that those games are functionally meaningless for those two teams and that you can somehow pull those two wins out.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't like the schedule next Monday, Mike. I mean, it works out nice for me since my child will probably be coming that day. There's no games. It's because stupid baseball was supposed to start their season, so they don't schedule any NBA games on friggin' April 4th. Okay? There's no games on April 4th, Mike. It's ridiculous.
Baseball, what is that? You play that with a glove or something?
Yeah, and they're not plus starting that.
Okay.
The Indians don't even are. I mean, the Guardians. Ooh. God, that's gonna be a bad. What? That's gonna be bad all year. I'm gonna do that
the
all
Guardians?
Year.
Guardians? Is that a real team?
If you look at their payroll, you might not think so. But you know, this might turn into. You know, we have the Browns corner, Mike. We might have to do the Guardians corner, and I can just kvetch and complain about the baseball team.
I can't do that. That will not happen. That will not happen.
Go to a few games last year, Mike?
I went to one game. I don't think
that's
I can
one
name,
more than I went to.
I'm not sure I could name one guy right now on the Indians. Well, no, Jose Ramirez. He's still on the Indians, right?
Yeah, the Guardians. Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
It's all season. Listen,
the Cleveland professional baseball team.
Yeah, let's just do that.
I would have preferred that for sure.
Yeah, like, I understand. I mean, I don't want to get this into this whole talk, but...
Yeah, we don't have to go there, but whatever.
I don't even know. I don't like that there's no games next Monday. That's weird. It's weird. Anyways.
I think the Cavs... You could tell me anything at this point, and I would believe it when it comes to Cavaliers basketball. All right. Let's put it this way. You got to make a decision right now, gun to your head. What seed do the Cavs finish with?
Seven.
Yeah, I agree. Seven, I think, is where they end up. I think that's the most likely outcome. I think there's a halfway decent chance that the Bulls are going to continue to free fall. And it's just a matter of, can the Cavs do enough to take advantage of that? But I fully expect Toronto to be the five, and then some combination of Bulls or Cavs in the six, and then I don't think Brooklyn's going to catch the Cavs or Chicago for seven, and then Charlotte, Atlanta, the 9-10.
I mean, the Bulls' schedule is rough, man. Like, I'm just looking at it. They play the Clippers, which that should be a win for them, maybe.
Maybe, but Paul George is back. Maybe Kawhi will be back by the time that game happens.
That's Thursday. I don't think Kawhi's back this Thursday. Maybe I'm wrong.
Man. Maybe. Who knows?
And then they play.
Man.
Then they go in the gauntlet, man. Then they go Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, Charlotte. But those are all home games. But I still feel like. And then they play at Minnesota the last game of the year. Like that's 2-6 right there. That smells like to me, or 2-4 for them down the stretch. So if that's the case, if they go 2-4, we need to go what in our last ones? We have to go 4-3.
So they would end up at 46-36.
So we have to go 4-3. But I don't know. Do we have the tiebreakers, or do they have the tiebreaker?
I don't think so. I think they have the tiebreaker.
I think they beat us three times.
So we'd have to go 5-2.
That's not happening.
That's not happening. So lock it in. Lock it in, Cavs at 7, I think.
Yeah, I'm saying 7 too, unfortunately. And I want to be clear here, Mike. Whatever happens, that it's huge for the Cavs. This season was a huge win for us, no matter where seed we're in.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have told us 6 months ago that, hey, the Cavs are going to be 42-33 fighting for one of the top six seeds in the Eastern Conference, I think we would have told you you were crazy. And it's just that our expectations have been reset. And so now it feels like it's a little disappointing because we've been in that top six for basically the entire season. And so now to say, we're going to be happy with the play-in. And of course, if you're in the 7-8 and you're playing Brooklyn, that means you're probably going to be in that one and done game against Charlotte and Atlanta, which I don't necessarily even feel really good about that game. So I guess you'll be hosting it. But certainly, look, I don't want to see Trae Young in a do or die one game situation. I'm not really looking forward to that. Although it could be a fun Darius Trae Young referendum back and forth against each other game. That would be a fun game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, really quickly, Mike, two big things here that I'm seeing.
Okay.
One, right. Sounds like the Guardians are about to sign Jose Ramirez to a contract extension. They're going to spend some money, Mike. So
sweet
on that. Perfect. Okay, the second thing, Dave McNeneman from ESPN. The Lakers have 7 games left in the regular season against 6 opponents. They play Denver twice. Their record so far against those teams is a combined 4-10. San Antonio has 7 games left against 6 opponents too. They play Portland twice. San Antonio is 5-11 versus those teams. I'm telling you right now, Mike, the Lakers are going to miss the play-in game and I'm going to die, and it's going to be glorious.
Well, if LeBron doesn't get back, I mean, he didn't play tonight, and if he doesn't come back, I mean, I know they're saying that AD is probably going to come back in their next game, maybe the game after that, but AD has clearly proven that, I mean, he's not carrying that team in any way, shape, or form. So if LeBron continues to be out, I just don't see how they win games. And San Antonio's won 4 in a row, and I think at this point you have to say that it's 80-20 that the Spurs make the playoffs or make the play-in, and the Lakers are out, which, what does that mean? What's it mean? We talked about it a little bit and speculated with what LeBron's going to do this summer. He's clearly not going to sit idly by and just be happy with where things are. He's going to agitate for a change, or he's going to agitate to get his way out of town. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Lakers situation and LeBron's situation this offseason. But as far as this year, it's just, I mean, the people who have been holding out hope that, oh, once AD gets back and they're going to put it together. Well, okay. And yeah, that ship has sailed. They're finished.
Chris Haynes is reported on TNT tonight that Anthony Davis is targeting a Friday return. LeBron is anticipated to miss Thursday in Salt Lake City, but be back on Friday. And Kendrick Nunn is out for the season.
That was a great signing, by the way.
Yeah.
He didn't play one game. He never came off the injured list, did he?
No.
I don't think Kendrick Nunn ever played a game. I don't think.
I will say this about LeBron's injury. He rolled that ankle pretty bad, Mike. Like, he rolled that ankle and then he continued to play and scored 39 points. That was impressive, right?
Like, yeah, look, like, but here's the thing. How many times do we see LeBron in Cleveland roll his ankle, writhe around on the ground for 2 minutes, and then bounce back up and play like nothing had ever happened? And so
it's pretty incredible, Mike. I mean, when you just think about it.
It is. He's been unbelievably durable throughout his career. He's been in the league now, what, 19 years, you said?
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that at some point you can't bounce back from rolling your ankle the way that he used to when he was younger. And I don't know. I mean, that team just, they don't, it's a mess. It doesn't matter if they're all healthy. They're not a real threat to anybody in the Western Conference. They're just not. So.
Oh, Mike, I got another fun fact about LeBron. Jason Tatum joined LeBron James, the only player in NBA history to win 3 Player of the Week awards in the same month.
Has Tatum taken a leap? Are you willing to buy Jason Tatum as one of the eight best players in the league?
Whoa, wait a second.
I'm asking.
No. I could name eight players better in the league than him right now. You want me to?
So could I.
Do you want me?
Yeah, no, I don't want you to. I'm just asking. I'm asking the question. I'm asking the question is, because if you're going to win a title, and there's been a lot of Boston is good enough to win the championship until Time Lord got hurt, right?
Yeah.
But there was a lot of their defense has been incredible. They're just destroying people, and Boston's going to win a championship. Well, if Boston's going to win a championship, that means Tatum has to be, I mean, at the minimum, he has to be a top 10 guy at the minimum. And the reality is he probably has to be a top 5 guy. And look, he's been really good, but I'm not buying into Tatum as one of the five best players in the league. That just isn't the case. And I still maintain, even with Time Lord, I think when push comes to shove, there's other guys I trust more than I would trust Tatum and the Celtics to be able to push through to the NBA Finals.
Fair assessment. I think Tatum's a top 20 player in the league, Mike.
You could maybe get him into the top 15, depending on how you want to rank things. But I think
would you rather have Jason Tatum or Darius Garland?
Whew. I mean, clearly there's some context there, right? It depends on who you have around them. But I would say that they're probably both on. Tatum's more accomplished at this point, right? He's done it in the playoffs.
More accomplished, yes.
And Tatum has the size advantage. But I'm not sure that I'd have a hard time seeing Garland as much as we've seen him. I'd have a hard time not picking Garland. At the same time, I think the size of Tatum would tell you that he's probably the guy that you should choose. But I would have a hard time not picking Garland, especially what he's done over the last 2 months of the season, where he's just basically been a double-double machine, and his passing has just become, I mean, he's become one of the best passers in the league, and he's, what, 21 years old. And so the only hesitation you would have with Garland is his size, and you're going to need Mobley to become what we've all been talking about him as over the course of the whole season, right? If Mobley becomes a top five player in the league,
yeah,
and Garland's your second best player, your team looks pretty good. I don't know if you can win a title with Garland as your best player. I don't know if you can win a title with Tatum as your best player. I guess that remains to be seen. So I'd say it's a toss-up. I'd probably lean Tatum just because of his size. But I think if you put the right guy next to Garland, Garland's good enough to be the second best player on a championship team. I don't think there's any doubt about that moving forward.
All right, that's fair.
There is a guy who has proven that he could be the number one guy on a championship team, and he balled out tonight, man. I don't know if you saw if you watched any of the Bucks-Sixers game or you saw the block at the end of the game, but Giannis, I think, had 40 and 16, if I'm not mistaken. He had three blocks, and he blocked Embiid's layup with, I don't know, 1.8 seconds to go and sealed that victory for Milwaukee tonight over Philly. So I think, to me, that game spoke a little bit to the MVP race. I think Embiid's chances of winning the MVP are just about over.
I think it's Jokic, Mike.
I agree. I think it probably is Jokic, although, man, what Giannis is doing and has done, I think the fact that Milwaukee hasn't been as good in the regular season is probably going to hurt him. They just haven't been as good this season as they've been in seasons past. But if you're asking me who the best player in the league is, I think I still lean Giannis, although it's hard to argue with Durant too, and it's hard to argue with Jokic, but I think Embiid has slipped out of that realistic contention for the MVP. I don't see him bouncing back. Although I guess what we have Philly going 6-1 down the stretch.
Yeah.
Maybe if he puts up 35-18 over these last 7 games, I don't trust Philly. I don't trust Embiid to be able to play. I just don't see it. So I think it comes down to Jokic and Giannis. Probably Jokic is going to win it, but Giannis has just been, he's been phenomenal. He was great tonight. Absolutely, just absolutely great. And his free throw shooting, let me look and see what he's shooting for the season. I think he's, well, he's probably at like 73, 74%, something like that. And if he can continue to maintain in the playoffs, which he hasn't in the past, but if somehow he were able to shoot that percentage in the playoffs, man, there's basically at that point, there's not many answers for what that guy can do. He's shooting 72% for the season. And if he could shoot that in the playoffs, when we saw in the game six against the Suns last year, if he's making free throws, good luck. I don't know what you do with this guy.
Yep. I don't know. You're right. You're right. Listen, he's proven it. He proved it last year, Mike, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
He can do it.
Yeah, he answered the doubts. All right, let's hit the West quick for like 2 minutes and then wrap things up.
All right. So, I mean, the West is, so we already talked, like Phoenix and Memphis are locked. I mean, I will tell you, Memphis has been super impressive. I told you a stat after we recorded last week about the record, and I don't know what their record is without Ja Morant in my head anymore.
It's like 15-2, I think.
Ridiculous. It's better than that because he didn't play a few games. I know did he play yesterday or no? Is he back?
I think he's still out, I think.
So, and they won yesterday. Hold on, I'm going to pull it up here. I was still on next week's schedule getting mad about not playing. Let's see, did he play yesterday? No, I don't think he did. No, he did not play. So they won another game. They smoked Golden State, which isn't really saying much because Golden State's a hot mess right now because of... So they're like 15 or 16 or 17-2. They beat the Bucks the other night, right? Giannis played in that game too. I mean,
yes. That team
is just playing really good. Desmond Bane's playing really good. Anyways,
Morant's going to be reevaluated as of March 24th. He was going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So
he's out until.
So he's basically out like, for the rest of the
round. They're probably like, listen, there's no sense rushing him back. I mean, they're locked into two. Let's not mess with it. You can't get one. You're locked into two. I mean, you're five games ahead of Golden State. They're not catching you.
Correct.
So you may as well just sit him out the rest of the regular season and have him ready. So listen, Memphis, are they a serious, like, are we ready to say, are they a serious title contender? Because I'm like, tempted to say yes. Like, I think they could win. They could. Now, will they? I don't know, but could they win? I think they could.
All right, so let's frame this discussion. And I think there has to be, I think we have to ask a question. Before we answer that question, I think we have to answer this first question. Do you believe that the Phoenix Suns are the overwhelming favorite, that their record and the historical precedent of teams that are this much better than anybody else in the league, do you believe they're that kind of overwhelming favorite to make the finals and then win the NBA title? Do you think that's the case?
No.
I agree.
Do I think that if I had to pick a Western Conference team, I'm going to pick anyone but Phoenix at this point? Probably not. Do I think they're overwhelmingly a favorite? No.
All right, so let's go through. Who has a better than a puncher's chance to beat Phoenix?
Memphis and Dallas.
Can Memphis beat Phoenix?
Yes, I think they can.
Yes, I agree. I think they can. I think it's not likely, but I think they could in the right scenario because they're so good defensively. Golden State.
No.
No, I don't think so either. I think their injuries, they've been so banged up here over the second half of the season that even if they get everybody back theoretically healthy, I think trying to put it together, they haven't looked like themselves. Yeah. So Golden State is not, to me, they're no threat to get out of the West. Dallas?
I think Dallas could in the right circumstance, especially now. Yes.
I agree. I think Luka just gives you a ceiling that I don't think we know what that ceiling is. And he's been great in the last two playoffs. He hasn't been able to get his team over the hump against the Clippers, but I think he's poised to have a huge, huge playoff run. And as it stands now, they play Phoenix in the second round.
They're gonna be ahead of Golden State by the end of this season.
You might be right. And that would, which I think you'd have to feel pretty good. You'd have to feel pretty good about that if you were Dallas, if you could get to three. Although that gets you,
because you Denver in the first round probably.
Although I think Utah's lost four in a row. I think the ideal scenario for Dallas, right, is you move up to three.
And Utah falls.
Utah falls to six. And now that means you have Dallas, Utah in the first round, and then you have Denver, Golden State. That actually would be fun. I think that would be, those would be some fun series. I think Denver against Golden State, when you figure the lack of size on the Warriors to deal with Jokic, to me, that makes for a really interesting series. And then you think about Dallas and going up against Utah and Gobert and their defense. And look, Utah is not necessarily the most exciting team to watch, but I think that Dallas-Utah series could be a fun one.
Yeah.
Utah has no chance of beating Phoenix.
Nope.
Does Denver have a chance?
I think Denver could if they get Jamal Murray back and he's at least something competent. If Jamal Murray doesn't come back and he's not, then I'm out on Denver.
You need one of the best. I shouldn't say the best version. You need one of Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray to come back and be a functional version of themselves. They're not going to be the best version of themselves by any means, but if you could get one of those two guys back and get something out of them, and maybe we're discounting how good Phoenix is, but I feel like Denver would have a chance because I feel like Jokic is that good. I feel like he's that good. And then nobody in the play-in, I don't think, has any chance of...
Lakers? No. We don't need to rehash that, no. Please.
Oh, Clippers? If you get Paul George and Kawhi back.
I mean, Kawhi hasn't played back. Come on now. I'm not going there, Mike. No.
Could the Clippers win a first round series if those two guys are back?
Yes. But only if they're the seventh seed.
So they play Memphis. Imagine if you're Memphis and you get the second seed and then you got to play Kawhi and Paul George. Now, as you said, Kawhi hasn't played in a year. Paul George is coming off the elbow. Highly unlikely that that team's going to put things together and suddenly take off. But I would not be excited. Let's put it this way. I would much rather see the Luke Kennard-led L.A. Clippers than the Paul George Kawhi-led L.A. Clippers.
Yeah, the Clippers are getting demolished by the Utah Jazz tonight by 20. Paul George has 16 points on 4 of 11 shooting.
That's a big win. I mean, that's a big win for Utah. I mean, that's a huge win for Utah.
Paul George is 3 of 5 behind the arc, 5 of 6 from the line. But he's minus 8. Reggie Jackson's a good... For his plus minus is really good right now, minus 29. Yikes!
Yeah, the Clips haven't been good over the last week or so, and they're fortunate that the Pelicans and Lakers/Spurs have been equally as bad that they haven't really fallen from where they're at.
Yeah, I mean they're pretty locked in. I mean eight.
Yeah, right, they're not going anywhere. They're gonna be in the eight. And look, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I guess you'd be surprised if Minnesota doesn't get in, but I think Clippers, Pelicans, or Spurs. I mean, I could see any of those teams advancing beyond. I think they're all pretty bad and equally talented or untalented, depending on how you want to look at it. So
you saw Zion went on the road trip, Mike.
Did he?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's still out indefinitely, but I saw Sham.
Well, look, hopefully he comes back next year, and who knows with this contract situation and what's going to happen. We've talked about Zion. We've talked about him more than any guy who's played the small, minimal amount of games that he has. And look, their roster, if you add Zion to it, I've said it a bunch of times, their roster's good. If you add a guy of Zion's caliber and he's healthy, that team, that's a real team next year. If he's healthy, and huge if, but you start throwing him in the mix and he's going to be, that team's going to be really, really good. And The West could bounce back in a big way next year if all these guys get back. If Zion gets back healthy, the two Clippers guys get back healthy, and the two Nuggets guys get back healthy, suddenly the West looks deep like it was. I mean, it's a little down this year because of those injuries, but all those guys come back, and next year it's right back to where it was.
Yep. All right, Mike. Anything else? Is there anything else to talk about?
No, I think let's save the thinking about the awards and that kind of stuff. I think as we get closer,
I think we do that. Yeah, I think we do that at the we talked before, Mike, and obviously it's going to depend on my situation with everything with the baby and whatnot. So next week I should be able to record. I'm not going to be spending the nights at the hospital, so I should be able to record next week. And then after that, we're going to have to figure out, what makes sense. I think I was originally thinking that Sunday would make sense if we can swing that somehow, doing a Sunday after all the games have played out and the season's officially over, and we can preview the play-in games, and then so yeah, we might be back onto a not a consistent Tuesday once the playoffs start. That's kind of what we've done in years past, is just kind of
when it feels right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
yep, cool. All right.
So
dad jokes.
I got a dad joke for you, Mike, and it's culturally relevant right now.
Okay, go for it.
What's Will Smith's favorite band?
Oh, I heard this one. Oh. I don't want to spoil it for you. I can say it if you want me to.
It's Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth. That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. At one time, I had a pet newt. I named him Tiny because he was my newt.
That's bad.
All right. On that note, thank you for checking out tonight's NBA episode. And make sure you check out all of our interview episodes that we have put out this week. Monday was Matt Lewis, the head men's basketball coach at University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, who is a national champion back in 2019. And then coming up on Friday, we have Bill Vasco, who is from Exo Coach, and he's going to talk a lot about what you can do as a coach to prepare yourself for your next job in terms of creating a coaching portfolio and building your resume and interview tips and all kinds of things. So if you're a coach that's out there and you're thinking that at some point you may be looking for your next job, which is just about every coach, this episode is going to really be one that you'll want to listen to. So check out Matt Lewis from Monday, and we got Bill Vasco coming up on Friday. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for putting up with my voice, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.